This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague and co-host, Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for Defense of Democracy, keeping the Long War Journal, where you can find Jonathan Sayers' reports on Iran especially, and that's what we're looking at closely now. Jonathan, a very good evening to you. Two remarks made recently need explanation from the point of view of what is Iran up to since the B-2 raid of last June. One by Bezeshkian, the president of Iran, who heretofore has been understood as a dovish speaker, saying that Iran reserves the right to restart or continue its nuclear enrichment program, leading to fissile material at 2%, 20%, 60%, the original driver for the concern about bomb making. And the other by the Ayatollah himself, saying there's no negotiation, there's no need for negotiation. I'm aware that Iran is very good at putting out a message that can defeat you or confuse you. And there's no transparency here. So what is your understanding of why now Bezeshkian, a dove, is saying we're going to restart the program that got us bombed? And the Ayatollah said we're not talking. Good evening to you, Jonathan.
Good evening to you. I think first we have to make the distinction between the roles of the supreme leader and the president. You can perhaps say one is head of government, whereas the supreme leader is the head of state. But ironically, the head of state in the Islamic Republic, when he gives a speech, it's mostly for internal consumption. So oftentimes they use the president, or the head of government in this case, in his administration, to have a public face towards the West. So in this particular case, as they're talking about this contradictory remarks on their nuclear status, we have to keep in mind that Pezeshkian, as a reformist or a dove, quote unquote, is ultimately part of the same regime apparatus that is designed to signal a different strategy towards the West. But that doesn't mean the Islamic Republic's ambitions have changed. But ultimately comes down to one point. They're still trying to build leverage for potential future talks. Currently, their nuclear program is damaged, and they're not in a position to be advocating for any policy resolution. But if they were to potentially restart this program, that again would give them some leverage to bring the West onto the negotiating table.
Bill, you have a question for John.
John, you mentioned the reformists. The Iranians seem to dangle this idea that their government is transparent and elected by the people, and they dangle these reformists out as bait, I would say, for the West to show that the Iranians are willing. Are they truly reformists in the sense that they would stand up to the Ayatollah and the real powers to be in the regime, or are they just merely a front for the regime to save face to the West, to put out a good face to the West?
Describing them as a front is very accurate, Bill. We have to remember that it was under the so-called reformist administration that Iran actually started many of its nuclear activities. It was under reformist administration, the Rouhani in the current one, that Iran has seen the highest numbers of executions and crackdowns. And when it comes to external politics, such as supporting proxies abroad, that's not even up to the government. That's led by the IRGC. So yes, it is designed not to only, as you mentioned, bait Westerners, but also Iranians. So it serves two purposes to put up a reformist facade. It would tell Iranians that change is still attainable within the framework of the Islamic Republic to deter dissent. And externally, it again is signals mostly to progressives that if they were to have a more lenient approach towards Iran, they would see a different behavior from the Islamic Republic. Neither of them have yet been true. But when they choose a reformist administration, it does signal something. It signals that they are more open to talks, at least to an extent. So that's the only main difference between a reformist and a hardline administration in the Islamic Republic.
There is a report that Iran wants us to see them reorganizing one particular site that was associated with bomb making before. Looks like debris clearing. They want us to see it. They're not doing it at night. They're not doing it disguised in any fashion whatsoever. Why? Are they inviting the Israelis to strike again? Have they refashioned their air defenses? Anything that makes sense about this?
On one hand, you're right to point out that satellite imagery shows some activity near the site. But parallel to that, the foreign minister recently announced that they will not be digging up the uranium from the underground. So again, we're seeing this dual strategy, this contradictory policy from the Islamic Republic that is strictly for casting doubt on Western policymaking, just for an average U.S. politician to exactly not know where Iran stands in the process, to cause a bit of a diplomatic chaos, I guess, if you will. But the other question that you posed was very significant, that has Iran learned nothing from the 12-day war? Are they opening up another diplomatic framework for another attack, potentially? And ultimately, the Islamic Republic was able to absorb the war. They're still in power, even though more fragile and more brutal than ever. But they were, in their perspective, they didn't necessarily lose in a sense that they're still in place. So I think many decision makers within the Islamic Republic think if there were to be another attack similar to the 12-day war, we will just put up new regime officials. We will restart the program so long as it doesn't threaten our foundations internally. But I doubt that's going to be the next Israeli calculus. If there were to be another attack against Iran, I think the policy would be shifting.
Bill, you have a question.
Do we see any evidence, if the Iranians do want to revive their nuclear program, as they indicate they do, they're going to have to rebuild air defenses and secure these sites better. Do we see any indication that they're going out, they're shopping new air defense systems? Are they looking to get them from the Russians, or is it possible the Chinese would sell it to them?
It is a possibility, but in this, within this framework, we have Russia and China that would be risking UN sanctions that they approved previously under the snapback mechanism if they were to supply the Iranian regime with more arms. So probably they would have to go to the next best thing indirectly through Belarus or North Korea for them to revive some of these capabilities. But we have to remember that during the 12-day war, it was not the missile capability that really was a defining factor. It was the Israeli intelligence. So even though Iran had multi-layers of air defense systems, Israel's ability to establish a team within Iran's borders that would dispatch numerous drones to target these air defense systems was indicative of the fact that even if they were to rebuild, Israel intelligence would be able to intercept it in the appropriate time.
About war making in Gaza, war making in Lebanon, war making in Syria, have they stood back from that because of the new difficulties and also because of money? Any hesitation on their part?
Well, the main factor that would have differentiated current supporting versus previous supporting of these regimes is the snapback sanctions that have been effective in about a month now. Now, the question is, are these sanctions being enforced to ensure that the regime is running out of cash?
30 seconds, go ahead.
During the first Trump administration, they were out of cash, and we saw a decline in support for some of these proxies. But now the Houthis continue to threaten Israel, and there are new reports about Hezbollah rearming. So we have not seen their effects yet.
Jonathan Saya of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, watching what is very difficult to watch, what Iran wants us to see and not what we can't. Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, FTD. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.